Welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and this is year 15 for me, interviewing people who inspire me, people who are on the green front lines, people who you won't hear about, read about, or see normally on mainstream media. We're starting to get a little bit of environmental coverage, a little in, you know, relatively speaking to the scope of the problems and challenges that we face planetarily. But still, there are so many wonderful pioneers out there, many of whom you don't know, who are doing great work every day, sometimes with pay, sometimes without, sometimes with thanks, sometimes without. And one of those women that I'm thrilled to have on the program now, I don't think I've ever had her on my show. Shame on me. I ran into her at a green luncheon yesterday, sitting right next to Beth Waitkus, and I said, wait no more. Come on the program. You available tomorrow? And she said, yes. I am thrilled to bring Beth to the show to talk about her Insight Garden program, which takes place in a place you wouldn't think of, an innovative green program's happening, and that is not only prison, but San Quentin Prison, which is right here in Marin County in the Bay Area. We see it across the water. We drive past it. We really have no idea what it's, you know, like inside, but Beth is someone who does know very well. She's not only gone inside, she's brought the prisoners outside to the light of day to plant seeds, to give them new hope, and to give them a little bit of eco-literacy. Welcome to The Green Front, Beth.
Thank you so much, Betsy. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
And tell us how this began. I know you are the brainchild behind it. Nothing childlike. Well, maybe there is something childlike about it. You like to play in the garden with prisoners. That's pretty unique.
Right. We started our program 9 years ago. After 9/11, I was inspired to do something community-based, and by some probably not such an accidental thing, I ended up wanting to volunteer at the prison, and in the course of conversations with folks, ended up being asked to start a garden program there. And so it's been 9 years and 900 inmates later. We started in 2002, and we built our first garden on a prison yard in 2003, and since then have evolved our curriculum to include many aspects of green, and this past year we also started a reentry program.
Now, most people would have no desire to go inside a prison and do this kind of work. What makes you different, or maybe you're not as different as we might think? What really, I mean, you talk about the genesis of it, but just as a person, what gave you the courage to do this? What gave you the desire to make a difference in this kind of setting?
Yeah, the desire to make a difference with prisoners, I think, came from having worked previously with underserved populations and realizing that prison is probably the last place most people want to be, and that it's a hidden population. It's a part of our population that most people would rather not recognize at all. A lot of the prevailing attitude is just throw them, you know, throw people behind bars and throw away the key. But in California, we have the largest prison population in the United States, as far as I know. Up to recently, we had 170,000 people in prison to the tune of $50,000 per year per inmate of taxpayer money, and a 70% recidivism rate, so 7 out of 10 people come back to prison. And to me, that just is, you know, sort of a really awful statistic and one that needs to be addressed. And I like to take on challenges and risks, and I decided that this would be an incredible population to start with and to work with, and it has been. It's been an amazing experience and indeed has helped me regain my faith in humanity, because what I see is when men put their hands in the dirt and work in gardens, they change.
Do they change very quickly, or is it a slow kind of unfolding as they soften and really feel like they're doing something positive?
The changes happen differently depending on a person's background, where they come from. I find, and this is not, you know, I have not done research on this specifically, but I have found in my observations that men who come from urban neighborhoods generally start shifting much more quickly than, say, people who grew up in rural areas. And I think part of that's just because they've been so disconnected from nature that immediate connection just has a very powerful impact on them. But it can take time, and we have seen changes in many different ways, and some of them, a couple of stories, we've had, men from the hood, so to speak, who learned to pet the bees in the garden. They name the bugs. We once had a praying mantis in the garden that was sort of a rock star to the guys because he was an interesting-looking insect, and they named him Michael after somebody who had paroled, and were very upset when Michael wasn't in the garden anymore. What we're really trying to do here, our mission is to rehabilitate people through the process of organic gardening, and the model is to help men reconnect to themselves through nature, and in doing that, they also reconnect to their community, both inside the prison and hopefully outside when they leave. And they also deeply connect to the natural world. So they, in a sense, they become advocates for preserving and caring and tending to the environment.
Now, I understand you've got about a 1,200 square foot organic flower garden there. What was it on that plot of land before?
So the evolution of that garden started with a vision to actually redesign the whole prison yard, which is very large. And when we realized what the budget would be to do that, the warden at the time said, you know, I don't think that's possible, and we didn't think it was possible from a financial standpoint. So we scaled back, and we found a small patch of sort of muddy earth on the prison yard tucked away in a corner somewhat near to the Indian sweat lodge that's also on the prison yard. And it was kind of an unsightly area. And a funny story behind that is one of the lieutenants I'd been working with at the prison, who originally was very... He was not a proponent of our garden in the beginning, but then as he realized what the benefits might be, he became a strong supporter of ours. And at one point he came up to me and he said, you know, Beth, before you plant your garden anywhere, we'd love to just plant some pumpkins and sunflowers in that patch of land just to keep the guys busy, and so we can pick the pumpkins for Halloween to give to the kids who come in to visit their parents in prison. And he came to me for... What was amazing was he was coming to me for permission. And I said, well, you know, it's not my place to say yes or no. You need to talk to the warden. But he did indeed plant sunflowers and pumpkins there, and that was a huge success. And then shortly thereafter, we had final approval from the warden at the time, Jeannie Woodford, to plant our garden in that area.
So you have found some receptivity. You've gotten some receptivity, but what kinds of either bureaucratic obstacles have you faced and perhaps surmounted?
Well, our key strategy for doing this work in the prison has always been to build the relationships on the inside with the people who run San Quentin. And for the most part, we've been very successful. It's been a win-win for both sides. But I think the biggest challenge has been that San Quentin tends to... The leadership change happens regularly at San Quentin. So we've had, in the past 9 years, I think 9 or 10 different wardens.
Must be tough work.
So the issue really becomes repitching our work every time we get somebody in who's new. And ultimately they understand the benefits of what we're doing, but I think that's the biggest challenge.
And has anyone actually done quantitative studies to measure the benefits, or is it mostly anecdotal and certainly something I'm sure you observe every day?
I actually did do research on the program when I began it prior to the planting of the garden, and then post-planting of the garden as part of my graduate research. The research study was called The Impact of a Prison Garden on the Social Climate and Physical Environment of a Prison Yard. So it was sort of the before and after picture, and it was done scientifically. It was a scientific research process. However, you know, of course we would like to do a recidivism study and even longitudinal work, but the recidivism work requires work from the prison's part to help us look up the people who have paroled, and you know, right now budgets are very strapped, and I don't even know if there's a research department at the CDCR left. And the second issue of a longitudinal study is extremely expensive to do. But we are tracking men now who leave that are part of our reentry program. So we have both. And there's also a lot of research out there that's not specific to my program, but is very specific to the impact of gardening on different population groups. And those are also scientific bodies of work that show that gardening indeed has a very strong impact on both behavior and health.
Mm. And give us a few anecdotes, stories, you know, maybe your favorite gardeners, who really has changed the most, or what has happened to those who have been active in the Garden Project, the Inside Garden Program, and mm-hmm. gone out, and really that experience made a difference in their future.
Well, there are a couple of stories in the Inside which are pretty heartwarming. One is when I was first in the prison and we were just getting ready to plant our garden. We had planted a rose bush at an area, sort of in a secure area of the garden that was adjacent to the one that we were going to build, as a memorial to somebody who had paroled, or one of our first parolee. And that rose bush, the next day I came in, had been pulled out and thrown into a bucket. And so I knew staff had done it, and I didn't know why. So I found the person who was responsible, and it was a bit of a disagreement over whether or not we should have planted it where it was, and I was actually quite upset by the way the whole thing had been handled. And as I walked out onto the prison yard, probably looking very visibly upset, some of the men in my program came up to me. They circled around me. I think it was maybe 10 or 15 guys, and they circled around me, and they all put their hands on their hearts and said, "Okay, Beth, it's time to breathe into your anger." And at that point, I realized that we were having an impact on these guys. Another time we had there's stuff in prison called Pruno, which people make from rotten fruit. It's sort of the bad version of alcohol production in the prison. And I guess some Pruno had been found on the unit, and they threw it in the garden to confiscate it. And it killed all the plants in its path. It was so
not
strong.
Not good compost.
Well, right. No, the Pruno was not good compost. And so the men in class one day addressed that issue. They said, you know, they were kind of laughing about it, but they were also really sad because some of the plants had died. And they said, well, you know, Beth, the Pruno is, there's a big dead path of plants in the garden. We should go out and look at it. So they, and then we got out there and they said, oh, you know, we tried to water it down thinking that maybe it would distill the alcohol in the soil. But one man came up to me and he said, you know, if this is what Pruno does to these plants, I'll never touch another drop of alcohol again.
And, you know, when I leave prison.
Unexpected. Very unintended consequence. And in other cases where our men have left and we've tracked them where they're part of our reentry program, we see the continuation of the care for the environment happen. We have one gentleman who's currently been out of prison now more than a year, who recently called me and said he wanted to start a greenhouse in his backyard. We have another gentleman who's been out for over a year who's working with the nonprofit organization Urban Tilth, and another gentleman who is currently working with our partner in the reentry process, Planting Justice. So in some way, they're staying much more connected to the earth than they had been prior to going to prison or going through our program.
I would imagine that this working in the garden is a bit of a privilege. Who gets to do that? I would imagine not the most high security men, but
we work in a medium security area of the prison. So we work with only people who are going to parole. Often they're short termers. You know, they may be in from 3 months to several years. They self-select to be in our program. We are part of a larger program at San Quentin called the Stand Up Program, where that includes many organizations doing good work inside the prison. And to be in the program, you have to, you know, give up certain things and meet certain criteria, and you self-select to be in it. And usually we have a waiting list. We usually have 25 to 30 men in our class over a semester, which is quarterly. So we've, at last count, I think we've put almost 900 men through the program.
And when you say classroom, is this a classroom to learn how to garden, or is it broader than that?
That's a really good question. So after we built the initial garden, which is our experiential lab for the men to actually do the work and learn gardening skills, we also have really evolved our curriculum, and includes five areas. It includes what we call the outer gardener, which is the vocational skills training of learning a skill you can use when you leave prison. What we call the inner gardener, which is the behavioral transformation piece. For men, we have a group called the Holos Institute, a group of ecotherapists who come in and help our men out on the behavioral issues. We also work a lot on that in class. We have classes on food, farming, and urban agriculture. We also have a curriculum focused around green jobs and green jobs training. So they get a very full, holistic, if they're in a program long enough, they go through these, you know, these programs over and over again. They get a very holistic experiential training, and also just classroom facilitation. We do a lot of work in class with facilitation inside. So obviously when it's raining and nasty weather out, we still hold classes.
And I would imagine one of the motivators would be to get outside for these guys who are otherwise, you know, indoors a lot. Is that, in fact, one of the benefits, even if it's the original motivation? I'm sure there's other good things that happen. But I would imagine being out in the garden, especially with the many sunny days we get here in the Bay Area, that's something that can be appealing.
They love being outside in the garden, and generally they get a little antsy if we don't get if we're in the classroom a lot. What we've done is we've integrated during our class time both inside and outside. Sometimes it'll be just inside, sometimes it will be a lot outside depending on the weather, but because they love being out in the garden so much, we do try to integrate that into almost every class we have if the weather permits.
How unique is this program, Beth? Is this happening at other prisons around the state, other places in the country? It seems like it's something that should be, you know, replicated.
From what I understand, I don't believe there's another gardening program like ours in the state of California. There may be other landscaping programs. There may be other programs that, you know, maybe get the guys out in the garden just to tend to the plants that the prison puts in. But this is truly a rehabilitation program, and there are other programs across the United States that do have farms. And, I mean, Louisiana has a prison that has a huge farm. There's, and composting, there's a lot of work going on in Washington State and Oregon around prison farming. But those state prison systems are run much differently than the California Department of Corrections. So it kind of depends on the state and the leadership and, you know, what the prevailing opinions are about rehabilitation. I don't think there's ever been a really bad issue with any prison garden around. I've never heard of one. It tends to really shift people in a positive direction. So I think the bigger issue is one that prisons always care about, which is movement and security. And, you know, there's always a fear that the guys will plant something in the garden that shouldn't be there or hide tools. But, you know, in the 9 years we've been there, as far as I know, that's never happened.
Well, that
our men are extremely careful with everything we use because they know the consequences of misuse.
Now, one of the things that I guess I assumed was that they were growing food. That would seem to be a way to contribute to the prison system and save costs. But you said not yet, but not for any particular reason. It just was that a matter of bureaucracy and time?
We have had in the planning now for 4 years a vegetable garden, a raised bed vegetable garden. What has happened, though, is because of leadership change, you know, kind of the constant leadership change, it's been hard to get final, you know, there's tacit approval to do it, but there's also a lot of changes going on in the system right now. So it's not a priority for the prison. It is one of our program goals is to have a vegetable garden in, we've selected the area, and to have a vegetable garden where men can learn to grow food, actually learn to grow food instead of us just sharing with them how to do it. But because of the restrictions around who gets what in a prison, we collectively decided that we would donate the food to organizations outside that need it instead of, there's just no way we could fairly distribute food amongst the inmates. We couldn't grow enough. So we decided to make it.
I was just going to say, and that sounds, that makes sense. It just, wouldn't it be wonderful for these prisoners to actually eat healthy, organic produce that they grew with their own hands? That would be sort of the next level of cool, I guess. And
it certainly,
you know, really
would be a good idea, I think, on a lot of levels. But one of those levels is because healthy food, I believe, you know, it's been shown that it helps create behavior change. So healthier food means healthier people. But unfortunately, just the space that's available, we can't grow enough for everybody. So at this point, we're going to just sit on our haunches, and hopefully when we get the vegetable garden going, we'll be donating it to other groups outside the prison. It's a great community service project. So, and I should also mention, we have a reentry program now in collaboration with Rubicon Programs and Planting Justice to work with our men on the inside before they leave, and then when they leave, they get wraparound services from Rubicon Programs for career coaching and a lot of the basic needs they have when they leave prison. And then they get work with our partner, Planting Justice, to build back, to help build backyard gardens. And they get paid a living wage doing that. They get paid $17.50 an hour. So we've just embarked on that program. We've had some success, also learning some important lessons. It's much different working with men on the inside than the outside, because all those barriers and structures are no longer there when they leave. So, but overall, it's a great program, and we're looking forward to making it even more successful.
And we just have a couple more minutes, Beth. I'm sure people ask you, have you ever felt threatened in any way? Have you had any, you know, safety issues? You're a beautiful woman going into a place of kind of hardcore male domination. Has that been an issue or not?
The short answer is no, it's never been an issue. I think on some levels, being a woman in such a hard place is a benefit. I've learned how to move through the system fairly gracefully and build the relationships we need. We're very collaborative. I've never felt personally threatened, ever. I think, if anything, the men in my program would protect me if my safety was ever at risk. But
they love their garden, and they love you.
Yeah, it's just never been the case, because there's a real respect developed between all of us, and we're all there to work together, so I don't think they would ever put that at risk.
And, you know, there's, I think, a higher incidence of ADD, attention deficit disorder, among prison inmates. Not surprising, that could be part of the reason, certainly not only that they got into trouble, but there's certainly epidemic NDD, nature deficit disorder. And this is something, what you're doing really addresses that, that, of course, is taken from Richard Louv's pivotal book, Last Tree in the Woods, the nature deficit disorder epidemic. And this really is a way to address that and shows really, I guess, why it is so needed to get especially urban children out into nature. And we have a wonderful program in Marin County I'm just learning about called Next Generation that plants those seeds. It is critically important. And in our last couple of minutes, maybe just comment on that, and then also mentioned, I think it's your blog that's got a great name, Avant Garden.
Yes, the Avant Gardener.
Yes. I love that.
So in terms of connection to nature, that's the whole purpose of our program. We believe that by reconnecting to nature, we reconnect to ourselves as we reconnect to our hearts, and we start to feel our emotions again. A lot of these guys have spent their whole lives not feeling, and they start to feel again. It's very powerful work, what comes out sometimes in class. And I think they truly love it, because I think we all have – the desire, you know, the need for nature in our DNA. I mean, we certainly do. The Last Child in the Woods is a great example of that, the book you just mentioned. But I think that, so I think even with 40, 50-year-old men, getting them out in the garden is a true healing for them in many, many ways. And I really do see that transformation. I know it helps me. I know gardeners. I mean, we have millions and millions of gardeners in this country, and
more every day.
Yeah, and I think people do it for a reason.
Well, I thank you for doing it for all the wonderful reasons. You're planting seeds and fostering a future for inmates who might otherwise feel completely hopeless. It's a wonderful thing on so many levels. I'm so glad to have you on the program to amplify your great work, and hope somebody picks it up and replicates it, and continue to planting those green seeds and fostering a connection with nature. So important, Beth.
And
you're way ahead of your curve.
So much, and I hope you'll come in and visit us sometime. We'd love to.
I would love to. I actually am going to make plans to do that.
Okay,
that does
great.
It for this edition of The Green Front. We've been speaking with Beth Wakis. Check her out. Her website is insidegardenprogram.org. It's at San Quentin Prison, but it could come to a jail or prison near you. Check her out. She'd be happy to work with you if you'd like to start a program at your local facility. Why not? That's what we need, more innovative ideas. That does it for this edition of the program. See you next time. In the meantime, have a great, green, productive week.